Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am so excited because I have a fabulous guest today. Her name is Vicki Lifton, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about her because she's got such a fabulous career. Vicki Lifton is a multi-award-winning voice actor and founder, CEO, and mouth of Smart Mouth VoiceOver LLC. She operates a broadcast-level recording studio and remote recording capabilities, and national companies such as AT&T, H&R Block, Waterpik, T-Mobile, Pizza Hut, Chevron, Yespri, Kiwi Fruit, Delta Dental, Hardee's, Carl's Jr., Huddleleak.com, and the Dallas Morning News have booked her voice. She's represented by five highly respected talent agencies across the country, as well as Cecilia Siegel Management, and she voices commercials, e-learning modules, corporate narration, and all types of explainer and website videos, anything that needs a narration. She's been featured as an expert in the New York Times, the Today Show, MSN, Forbes, Women's World Magazine, Family Handyman Magazine, Apartment Therapy, House Beautiful, and the Washington Post, The Spruce, and so many more. She also writes, voices, and produces the award-winning series On the Fly DIY, which has over 1.5 million views on YouTube and raises money for no-kill animal shelters and rescue organizations. Welcome, Vicki. I am so happy to have you. How are you today?
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm going to ask you some questions. First off, what is VoiceOver and what exactly do you do?
Okay, so you've watched commercials on TV or listened to them in the car, right? That voice that entices you to buy this product or explains that service to you, so that way, you know, you get excited about it and you realize how essential it is to your life. That is a VoiceOver. Those are the most obvious ones, but there are plenty of other applications that you'll find a voice in. And like you were just saying, website videos, explainer videos, social media ads, e-learning courses, corporate videos, like onboarding and training videos, even telephone cue systems, voicemail messages, and so much more. So yes, anything that needs a voice requires a voice actor. So my job as a voice actor is to take a script and create dimension, create relatability, and create a connection with the company's target market. The current trend right now with buyers is that they're more likely to buy an item or service when they relate to the voice, because that builds trust. That's why we go and we get on Amazon and we read all those Amazon reviews before we buy it, because we want to hear from people that are like us and what they think of that product or service. That voice also needs to sound genuine and conversational. They don't want to be told what to buy, like that big announcer voice back in the 90s that we used to hear on the commercials all the time. That used to work at one point, but buyers are just more discerning and more cautious now. So they want to hear why the product or service is worth it from someone who they consider sounds like a peer. So I bring that script to life, and I create audio for companies to use in their marketing and advertising projects.
Wow, that's exciting. So how long have you been providing voiceover services? And do you have favorite clients, or what kind of clients do you have?
Sure. So this is actually my 11th year in voiceover. So it's kind of exciting to look back and think about all of the projects that I've voiced over the last 11 years. I started in 2012 I'd always wanted to get into voiceover, but and I knew what it was. But by that time, I finally hit one of those it's now or never kind of points in my life. So I decided that was the time and that I needed to jump in, even if I just was going to learn the skill set and it would be a money hobby, like on the side. So I went to New York. I trained with someone who was doing what I wanted to do, which was somebody working full-time in the industry, and she was totally supporting herself just with her voice. So I learned from her, and then after New York, I continued to be coached privately from my home in St. Louis. I was able to do the coaching virtually. Most coaches nowadays are completely virtual, especially since the pandemic. You can literally be anywhere and work with someone anywhere else in the world, essentially. So I started part-time. I worked a day job. I was raising a son. And so I continued to kind of do that balancing act for several years with the job and my son and, you know, doing voiceover work in the evenings. And then in late 2019, I ended up transitioning into full-time voiceover work. I was getting enough work to where I could start, you know, get rid of my full-time job and just jump into that full-time. When I originally started back in 2012, I was freelance. So that means no one was representing me, and I was having to find all of my jobs on my own. And after 2 years of hustling and finding my own work, I signed with my first agent in St. Louis with Azalea Agency. Now, having an agent doesn't actually stop the hustle, but it was nice, you know, to have somebody else helping me out and throwing me work as I was out there trying to find the work as well. And then fast forward to today, I have 5 agents and a manager who send me auditions and work, but I also still book directly with clients as well. And my clients vary. I work with everything from small businesses to large international conglomerates, nonprofits, even startups. Sometimes I work with an ad agency or a production house that's representing the end client. And those are usually the people that are producing the commercial or the web video. So I'm working with them directly, and they're editing as we go, or they've got direct input that if I need to hit a certain word with a different inflection, you know, they're giving me immediate feedback. So it's wonderful to be able to do work directly with producers. So it really varies depending on the project. Some of the companies, like you had said, have booked my voice, AT&T, Chevron, Waterpik, T-Mobile, H&R Block, Pizza Hut. Probably a few of my favorites, I've done a few for Cuddly.com, and animal rescue is one of my passions. So being able to work with a company that offers a subscription service where people are helping animals every month is really it really means a lot to me. Zespri is also phenomenal. I did all of their commercials last year during Kiwi season, and the new commercials have just landed, I think last week they came out. So I was really excited to be able to voice for them again this year as well.
That's great. So what services specifically do you offer?
So I offer the actual voiceover, so that's the narration for a project, as well as the audio recording and the post-production services. You can take all of that, you can take some of that, you can take one of those things, but those are the different things that I offer. So not only do I voice, but I work out of a broadcast-level recording studio here in my house, and it's the optimal recording environment to capture that performance, so that way a client doesn't need to go and book an outside studio for this, so that's kind of money saved in the client's pocket. And then after the recording, I can also process the audio so it's ready to use by my client. And that means pretty much everything from removing the noise floor, and the noise floor is like that room tone or room noise that's always present in a space. It might be like low background noise, air conditioner, you know, that. So that's taken out totally. I also take out breath noises. I tighten up timing if needed. And then I also normalize it to broadcast level So it's ready to be uploaded right into the product, like a commercial or a website video. Sometimes I'm also booked to provide the voice only while an engineer and a producer are brought in to do the editing. So that's kind of nice. I just go in, I do the voicing, and then I'm done. Other times I literally do it all. So it really depends on what the client needs. Some clients have a favorite studio that's local, so it's no problem for me to go into a session at a local studio. Other times, you know, they could be sitting on a beach in Mexico and directing me in a session here, and I'm doing all the recording. So, like I said, it's what the client wants and what they're used to setting up.
Wow, that's great. Tell us about your studio.
So I run a broadcast level recording studio. So that means that it's got the sound dampening qualities. So when you produce the audio in there, it can be used for broadcast applications like commercials. My studio specifically is a Studio Bricks isolation booth. These are the best isolation booths on the market. They don't pay me to say that, but I absolutely love them. They're made in Spain, and they're shipped out all over the world. They're absolutely amazing. And it's set up with Source Connect Standard, which is a recording technology that's considered the gold standard for remote recording. So I can be sitting here in D.C., and connect with an engineer anywhere in the world. And the audio quality that they get at their end is going to be the same as if they were here in my house, sitting outside my studio recording me in person. So that's how high quality it is. I'm also equipped
Wow.
with PhonePatch and Zoom and Skype. So if a client wants to sit in on a session and listen and even direct me, and we can talk back and forth, they can do that from literally anywhere. And the wonderful thing about voiceover is that it's truly a borderless industry. Remote recording tech allows us to literally be anywhere and work anywhere, which is great because my husband's job moves every 3 years, so I literally pick up, move the studio to the next location, and keep going. But I think my most extreme example of this was when I voiced a video for a production house in Brazil whose end client was a company in Texas. So, like, we literally went international between start to finish. So, yeah, you can be anywhere, and as long as you have a decent internet connection, it's totally workable.
Wow, that's great. So you've won some awards.
Sure. Yes, since 2021, I've won 4 awards, and I've also received several nominations. I won a Telly Award and a Communicator Award of Excellence for a video that I co-wrote, voiced, filmed, and produced for my favorite animal nonprofit, Pound Pals Neuterville. Neuterville is a severely underserved nonprofit in the St. Louis, Missouri area, and I had been donating to them monthly, but I realized after about a year that of donating to them that they didn't have any marketing materials to create awareness. So, you know, they're literally running on donations, and all of the donations that they get go to the animals. Like, there are not many nonprofits that I find that have no administrative costs or marketing, but this was one of them. So I worked with their board of directors to create a promotional video for them at no cost, and it ended up winning a Telly Award and a Communicator Award. So I'm really proud of the video and the awareness that it's brought to this amazing organization. I also won a Communicator Award of Distinction for the AT&T commercial that I voiced, and a W3 Gold Award in the web series category for the DIY series that I write, voice, and produce. I've also received a nomination for a Sovas Voice Arts Award, 2 nominations for One Voice Award, and a nomination for a National Woman of Influence Award. So I have some submissions, too, in the pipeline for this year, so fingers are crossed that I get some good news in the upcoming months.
Wow, that is just fabulous. Why is it so important to get the right voice for your marketing products, like commercials, web videos, international company videos, corporate narration, et cetera?
So typically companies spend a considerable amount of time and energy on branding. They're getting the logos right. They're fine-tuning details like fonts and color. They're using the right words for their mission statements and their mottos. Website layouts with the right fonts, colors, and pictures. So every detail in a company's branding is important. And it's important because it all has to work together to form this cohesive picture, you know, of what the company is about and is consistent. So from their website to their business cards to their email signatures, you know, wherever you go to find this video, that branding is going to be the same throughout. It gives a certain personality or a vibe, so to speak. So the voice in the marketing products, like the TV and radio commercials and even website videos, need to blend with the other details. So let's take Peloton, for example. As we know, Peloton, they manufacture home workout equipment. They're higher end. There's a certain grit and determination, this no matter what kind of feel to their marketing. So the voice that they pick in their commercials needs to reflect that same attitude. It's going to be a tough guy or a gal, you know, who's up for the challenge. They've got a confident edge, maybe even a little bit of an attitude, but not mean, you know, just kind of gritty. And so the voice is going to blend perfectly with the rest of the branding. But if you take that and, say, compare it with something completely opposite, like Pampers diapers, if you put that edgy attitude voice in a Pampers commercial, it's not going to work. It doesn't match the branding. You would hear that commercial, you'd hear that edgy attitude, and it would clash with the Pampers personality. And you would be thinking, wait a minute, where's the loving tenderness? Where's the baby and the sweet softness and, you know, all of those things? So it would be obvious that there was a disconnect there. But when that sweet mama voice then is used in the Pampers commercial, then everything clicks. It makes perfect sense, and the branding sounds cohesive and authentic.
Wow, that's just amazing. What is something people may not realize when it comes to voiceover?
That's a really good question. Couple things. One is that it's not as simple as just pulling up in front of the microphone and just talking. There is a lot of thought and effort and preparation that goes into each script. You have to ask yourself, who's the target market? How do I connect with them? What's the underlying message in the script? And that is actually the biggest question that you've got. We were already talking about how target markets want a relatable conversational voice, like they're listening to a friend recommend a product and not that announcer, you know, telling them what to buy. But the underlying message of not what do I want you to buy, but what's the feeling? What's the message between the lines? Because that is where the connection happens. That's where people feel the call to action, and then a commercial is considered then successful. So let's take life insurance as an example, and I love this example because, let's be honest, there is nothing more dry and boring than life insurance, right? The
right.
End goal of a company that's selling life insurance is to get the target market to buy a policy. But people won't respond if your commercial just says, buy our policy because we're the best and just trust us on that. You know, it will fall flat. They won't consider it authentic, and you won't be making sales. Worked in the past, but definitely not anymore. So this current market demands so much more before they spend their hard-earned dollars and take their precious time on buying your service. So the commercial has to go much deeper than that. It's painting a picture of, say, a parent looking in on their sleeping toddler, and they're full of love, and they're also taking in the uncertainty of life. You know, like, what happens to little Johnny if something happens to us? Will he still get to live in this house? this is the only place he's ever considered home. You know, if we're gone, will he get to continue living here? Does he get to go to college and fulfill his dreams if his parents aren't here to support him? And then you're asking yourself, what can we do to secure his future, even if we aren't there? So the commercial isn't about buying the life insurance policy. It's about what you can proactively do to create security with a company that you can trust, you know, like one that's been around for a long time and they're going to be here for many, many years long after you're gone. So instead now, little Johnny grows up in the home he loves. He graduates college, he gets married, he's given the financial security he needs, and he's creating this happy, healthy life, you know, even if his parents aren't there, but they made it possible for him. So that is what the life insurance policy represents. It represents security, trust, and hope despite an uncertain future. That's what the company is selling to their target market. And when the voice can paint that picture of security, trust, and hope, that's what makes the connection, and then the market buys that dry, boring product with confidence. Another thing people may not realize about voiceover is the hardest form of acting. An on-screen actor has multiple tools at their disposal. They utilize their body language, they get to use their facial expressions, and they get to use their voice to convey a feeling or multiple feelings. And they're able to interpret a script using all of these things, which synergistically act a scene, and they're able to communicate all of the writer's intent to the audience. But a voice actor only has their voice. They don't have anything else. So they have to kind of take all of that body language and facial expressions, and they have to create subtle nuances with their voice. So you're hearing these things, even if it's a little on the subconscious end, you're hearing the missing visual elements in their vocal performance. It's tricky, but it's a really fun creative challenge. And then also I would say that this actually leads to another thing that people may not realize. A big myth about voiceover is, I think if I had a dollar every time somebody told me this, I've been told I have a great voice and I should get into voiceover. And the cool thing is that everyone has a great voice. Each person's voice is as unique as a fingerprint. So the potential to have a place somewhere in the industry is there. Whether you're more interested in, say, commercials or audiobooks or even phone cue systems, the potential's there. But the myth is that your great voice is your ticket in. And the truth is actually that it's your acting chops. So if you can act well, your chances of making a career out of voiceover jump significantly. So it takes much, much more than just a great voice to be able to book voiceover work.
Wow, that's interesting to know. What is the hardest thing about your job?
I think the hardest thing about my job is the unplanned noise component. So in film, you hear the term, we'll fix it in post, a lot on set. And most visual things can be fixed during the editing stage. But unfortunately, the exact opposite is true in audio. You want the best environment possible when recording, so you only have to do minimal post-production. The more you process audio, the more processed it sounds. So if you can avoid doing that in the first place, you know, like start out with the cleanest recording environment possible, you get the best final product. So that's why I invested in, you know, the best studio on the market, and I have top-of-the-line equipment, things like that. I want to have the most pristine audio possible. So the unplanned noise aspect, I tend to schedule directed sessions around times that I know are going to be interrupted by noise. You know, my trash comes on on Monday and recycling comes on Thursday, so I know about when the truck comes and I know when not to have a lesson where the dumpsters are banging around outside. Or I live across the street from a school and there's a rush of buses and cars and whistles from the crossing guard twice a day. And I know definitely don't do any voice work at 9:15 and 4:15 every single day. So those are easier to plan for, but the unplanned things are much harder. The guy that lives next door, he likes to do leaf blowing. So I'll hear for him and, okay, you know, he'll be about an hour. Let's do this, or, you know, just try and work it around his leaf blowing. One time I had the city decide to tear up the road in front of my house all of a sudden right before a recording session, and had to do a last second, you know, change around for schedules. And the client was very nice. And I'm like, I want to give you great audio, but they're literally jackhammering outside my house. So that's definitely hard. It gets in the way of being able to give a high quality session. Actually, not long ago, I had a client contact me, a repeat client, very good client, so I'm happy to jump in and make time for this client. And they had a six-second social media ad that they wanted to get out the door. And they sent me the spot, and they said, if you can, we literally want it back right now. And so my right now happened to be when my landlord had a handyman over who was replacing the doors and adding storm doors and doing all of this banging. So I had to go upstairs and sweet talk the handyman, you know, and I said, can you just take a break for like 10 minutes? All I need is 10 minutes. I just need you to be quiet 10 minutes. And he's like, yeah, okay. So he was happy to take a break. I cranked this out. He was back to work 10 minutes later, and the client was happy. So I do my best to ensure it was crazy. I do my best to ensure they schedule.
We have about a little over 2 minutes left. So tell us about DIY series and how your listeners can contact you in those 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Sure. Okay. Really fast. So I started my DIY channel just as a way for people to hear me in a long form as opposed to just my demos. But somehow it started to get views, and next thing you know, it was making money through AdSense and affiliate links. So because I'm so busy, I don't have time to give to rescue organizations and volunteer at shelters. So in 2019, I began donating all of the AdSense proceeds, affiliate link proceeds, everything to no-kill animal shelters and rescue organizations. So you don't see me in the videos other than my hands or my shoes are always in there. My dog is the face of the videos. They're fun, interesting, unique DIYs. Normally it's like I'm reverse engineering a high-end decor or something like that, so that way people can do it in their own homes. And then all of that money, like I said, is donated to animals. So I'm the easiest way for you to find me is my website. I'm at smartmouthvoiceovers.com or vickyliston.com, as they both go to the same place. And then from there, you can easily contact me. You can also find my DIY series at YouTube if you just search On the Fly DIY.
That sounds good. Well, it's amazing how fast a time goes, but it's been wonderful. I learned a lot about voiceover. I didn't know that. A quick question before we end: Have you done any voiceovers of books where you've narrated books?
I did one, and I actually got into voiceover thinking that I would do audiobooks. And after I did one, it was too much. It's long form, and I'm more of a punchy, quick 50-yard dash with my high energy. And so I actually, after that one time, I was like, you know, audiobooks are not my thing. That's the that's the only genre that I don't work in. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much to being my guest today. very informative. I learned a lot. I know everybody listening will learn a lot. And I wish you the best on your continued great work, where you help a lot of companies and a lot of people. And thank you again.
Thank you so much. Oh, I appreciate it.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.